I am always aware of the Lord's presence.
Wow.
That blew me apart when I read that in the Bible. I am always aware of the Lord's presence. We've just been singing about God writing our name upon his hands, because God is always aware, always alive to us. Do you know those irritating people who you give them a message and they get a pen out and they write it on their hands so they don't forget? Because God's hands are always before him, as indeed our hands are always before us. We're washing them half a dozen times a day and we're doing all sorts of things with them. We're writing, we're working with them. And God's hands are always before him, and so he never forgets us because he has written our name upon the palm of his hands, nay, engraved our names. That's not part of the script. I didn't intend to say that. God is always aware of us. But the verse this morning is that I am always aware of the Lord's presence. Who do you think said that? I wish that I could always be aware of the presence of the Lord. It's in Psalm 16. It was said by a worshipper, a shepherd boy, David, who became a king. He says, I am always aware, in verse 8, of the Lord's presence. It's good to be here. Do you know, I think God is saying it's good to be here because he delights in presencing himself among his people. He wants to make his habitation among you. And also in that psalm it says, the word of God says, how excellent, how good are the Lord's faithful people. How good are the saints. That's you. You're all saints. And the word says, how excellent are the Lord's saints. My greatest pleasure is to be with them. What splendid friends they make. There you are, you saints. What splendid friends you make. The Lord wants to be friends with you. He wants to make his habitation with you. I am always aware of the Lord's presence. Today's good news is that God is here. He delights to be with his saints, with his faithful people. Do you know that God so loved the world that he wanted to be here? I find that incomprehensible, that God could have so loved this world, a world full of conflicts between nations and between people, wars, people being tortured and imprisoned all over the world, many massacred for no logical reason, diseases still prevalent despite medicine's advances. His laws on family life and sexuality have been overturned. There is crime, there is injustice. There are places in America like death row where people rot under the sentence of execution. Asylum seekers are driven into the UK by fear of torture. What is there to love about that? Yet God has fallen head over heels with this fallen world. He so loved the world that he is here. The Bible says that God is here. God has moved into the neighborhood, says the message. John 1, the Lord became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Look, look, says the Almighty in Revelation 21, God has moved into the neighborhood, making his home with men and women. Now God's home is with mankind. He became one of us. He became one with us. Fear not, he says, 366 times, once for every leap year day. Fear not, I am with you. God is here. Even in Llanrymney, God has moved into the neighborhood. Even in 1958, when all the problem families in the older parts of Cardiff were shipped up to Llanrymney, to this beautiful place of open spaces and woods and river and hills, God moved into the neighborhood. I find it incomprehensible how Elohim, as the ancient Israelites knew him, the Almighty God, the all-powerful God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who's flung stars into space, who placed his cross in the Whirlpool galaxy 31 million light years away, the eternal God, the everlasting God, the one who is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. I find it incomprehensible that Elohim is also Jehovah Shammah, the God of the here and now. God is a self-revealing God. We wouldn't know much about our Father God if it wasn't for the fact that he has revealed himself to us through his word. We know of him what he has revealed in his word. Revelation is by name. He introduces us, as all good people do, by his name. He is a gentleman. He has good manners. He introduces himself and says who he is. And when he says his name, it means exactly who he is. It's a description of what he is like. And you know many other names of God, don't you, that he introduced himself as. In Genesis 14, he introduces himself as the great and glorious God and creator, Elohim. In Genesis 15, he introduces himself as being the all-sufficient one, who has been more than sufficient, El Shaddai. In Genesis 16, he introduces himself as El Roy, the God who sees, the one who looks into our very predicament, whatever that might be. In Genesis 20, he introduces himself, I am the God of healing, I am Jehovah Rapha. In Genesis 22, he introduces himself as Jehovah Jireh, the God who has not only provided, but continues to provide, and so on and so forth. God introduces himself to us by his name. Where does God reveal himself as the God who is sure, as Jehovah Shammah, the God of the here and now? Well, it's the very last word of the 48 chapters of Ezekiel. You'll be glad to know I'm starting at the end of Ezekiel and not going through the whole 48 chapters. God reveals himself right at the end of Ezekiel as Jehovah Shammah. The name of the city from now on will be Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is here. Oh, that we could say about Cardiff that it is a Jehovah Shammah city, where God's manifest presence is obvious to us day by day. It is a vision by Ezekiel 550 years before Jesus came of what the world is supposed to be, a worldwide spiritual city in which God resides forever, in which God has made his habitation. God is with his worldwide children of believers, and they themselves are Jehovah Shammah. They are people where God is. They are people who host the presence of Elohim, the Almighty God. And so we are Jehovah Shammah people living in a Jehovah Shammah world. How can that be? Well, I don't know how it can be. But the Bible says in John 14, 15, that God, when promising his Holy Spirit, said that the Holy Spirit will remain with you, and the Holy Spirit is in you. The presence of God is both with us and in us. We are Jehovah Shammah people, filled with his presence, his Holy Spirit. I don't understand that, how he can be with us and in us. at both the same time. But we accept that by faith because that's what the word says. And the full picture is even more incomprehensible because the word says that I am, you are in Jesus. Ian Clayton, who's an evangelist, came to Cardiff the other day, and he said that when you write, yes, you are, in Hebrew, the middle letter of Jesus, when written in Hebrew, stands for man. So right in the middle of Jesus is man. My position is right in the middle of his name. In him we live and move and have our being, says the Bible. Jesus told us to pray in his name. So when I pray out of a position in Christ. Wow, that's a powerful position to be. The Bible says I'm also seated with him in the heavenlies. And so we got these two prepositions yet again, with and in. To sum up then, Jehovah Shammah means that God is here both with us and in us, and God is here because we are both with Jesus and in Jesus. And the end of Ezekiel calls us to be Jehovah Shammah people, distinguished by the presence of God upon us and within us. So we take that by faith. I can't work it out. I don't know how it is. I can't work it out with my finite mind, but I accept by faith that God is both with us and in us, and we are both in Jesus and with Jesus. Now his presence, says Ezekiel, is our distinguishing mark as Christians. You will read that Israel was set apart. We're going to deal with Israel, Peter, Paul, and Jesus. They all had the distinguishing mark of the presence of God about them. Israel was set apart in the wilderness. We read in Exodus 33, 14, and 15 that God was talking with Moses. And Moses says, I will go with you. I will give you victory. That's what God says. I will go with you. I will give you victory. Moses says, your presence with us will distinguish us from any other people on earth. And so it is our distinguishing mark, the presence of God. Peter, Paul, and Jesus were distinguished by God's presence. Peter, you know, was a frightened young man. In Matthew 26, we read that after Jesus' arrest, he was denying that Jesus ever existed to a servant girl. But after his baptism by the Holy Spirit, Peter healed, first of all, people when he prayed for them. Secondly, Peter healed people when they were near him. Thirdly, Peter healed people when he walked by and his shadow fell upon them. Miracles happened because of the presence that Peter was carrying of our Heavenly Father. Jesus carried that same kind of presence of the Father to such an extent that you only had to touch the hem of his garment to be healed. That woman suffering for so long from hemorrhages saw an unseen reality in Jesus, that if only I could touch the hem of his garment because of the presence of God that was upon him. Paul, too, carried the presence of God, that through him, it says in Acts 19:11, God was performing unusual, extraordinary miracles. I wish I could perform a miracle, but Paul was performing extraordinary miracles. What on earth can those be? Even handkerchiefs and aprons he had used were taken to the sick, and their diseases were driven away, and the evil spirits would go out of them. So not only the presence was with Paul, but even the clothes that he used and wore. Even when people were far away from him, people observed something unseen in these three people and responded with faith. Faith sees and responds to unseen realities, the unseen reality of the presence of God, which is a reality, should be in our lives. So his presence is our distinguishing mark. It's been said that his presence is the one assignment we were born for. So now you know why you're here. To live in his presence. His presence is the ultimate for us all. His presence is the greatest treasure we can ever find or seek. His presence is the one thing that we need. What is the one thing that is required of us, says the Bible? The one thing, the only thing that I want, says David in Psalm 27, verse 4. The only one thing that I want, the only one thing that I seek, the only one thing that I inquire for, the only one thing that I insistently require is that I may dwell in his presence all the days of my life. Wow. I am always alive too. I am always aware of the Lord's presence. Oh, that I might be a Jehovah Shammah Christian, always aware of the presence of God. For without his presence, we are powerless as Christians. They've just set up healing rooms in Llanisian in Cardiff on the 4th of October. Unless God's presence is there, they are wasting their time. There is no healing without God's presence. We've had that amazing outpouring, haven't we, since April the 10th in Victory Church in Cambrone. An outpouring of God's presence where a man in a wheelchair picked up the wheelchair and ran around the church with a wheelchair above his head. Healed because people laid hands upon him and he was touched by the presence of God. And for 5 months thereafter, they held meetings every night where the presence of God was poured out. They're still holding a couple of meetings each week. But there have been so many healings there and so many lives changed because of the presence of God there. 50 were baptized on one occasion, 25 on another occasion. Mass people coming to God cannot take place without his presence. The miracles of the pastors who run the Victory Church, they've all been in prison. God turned up in the most unlikely of places, prison cells. You feel that before you go there, you need to have a criminal record to be part of the church. The presence of God was amongst those addicts, because before the church was formed, and still is, a place for addicts. And many have been changed by the presence of God. And the latest word for Wales from Chuck Pearce in Swansea is that Wales is now ready for God to come in power, to presence himself here in a powerful way, to bring heaven down to earth. And so we won't have revival in Wales until his presence is fully with us. Or really, until we become aware that he is already here. So his presence then is the reference point, is the key, if you like, to all our issues in life. And going back to what David says in Psalm 16, I am always aware of the Lord's presence. And the result of that, if you read the psalm, is this: that circumstances do not faze me. Nothing can shake me when I'm aware of the Lord's presence. Therefore, says David, I feel completely secure. You've cancelled my ticket to hell. Your presence, first of all, fills me with joy. Secondly, your presence brings me pleasure forever. Thirdly, your presence fills me with joy when I awake. It is living heaven on earth. says David. His presence is our supreme assignment and complete satisfaction. And if you go on to Psalm 17, verse 15, it says, when I wake, your presence will fill me with joy. Whether it is a day by day, morning by morning experience, or whether it is awakening after a night of prayer in church, or whether it's awaking after the sleep of death, God's presence is there to fill us with joy. And so we finish by going back to the beginning of Ezekiel. We start at the end with Jehovah Shammah, the God who is here. And if you go back to the beginning of Ezekiel, the first few verses, it says this: on the fifth day of the fourth month of the 30th year, I, Ezekiel the priest, son of Buzi — it's a good name to have, isn't it? — son of Buzi, was living with the Jewish exiles by the Chebar River in Babylon. The sky opened. I saw a vision of God. There in Babylon beside the Chebar River, I heard the Lord speak to me, and I felt his power. So here was Ezekiel in a desolate place. Ezekiel had been born into a priestly family in Jerusalem. He lived up within the precincts of the temple there. His father was a priest. His grandfather had been a priest. And he was going to be a priest. And they say that when you're 30, your calling to the priesthood becomes confirmed and mature. But it says here that in his 30th year, he was devastated because he was transported from Jerusalem by the enemy and taken to Babylon with 8,000 other exiles to live in desolation by the Chebar River. Here was Babylon, the antithesis of all that Ezekiel had grown up with. It was full of idolatry. It was full of a culture that was absolutely alien to Ezekiel and his priestly line. And here he was living in desolation. In fact, we read later on, don't we, that the Jews in exile there in Babylon in the 6th century couldn't sing anymore. They hung their harps upon the trees. And in this dire situation, God turned up. He became aware of the presence of God. We've got five senses, haven't we? With three of his senses, Ezekiel became aware that God was present in that terrible place. The sky opened up and I saw the Lord. He saw with his eyes that God was present. There beside the river I heard the Lord speak to me. And so you can hear the Lord speak because he's present. And there by the river I felt his touch. I felt his power. So we thank you, Father, that there is no place on this earth where your presence cannot be felt and where your power cannot come. And whatever you've got before you this week, whatever dire circumstances you're walking into tomorrow morning or Tuesday or the rest of the week, be assured that God is already there. We only ask that you be aware of his presence, that you carry his presence with you. And so the word from Ezekiel this morning is that God is Jehovah Shammah, the God of the here and now. How do you maintain his presence? Well, that's a sermon for another time. The key to that may well be worship. And that's what we've been asked to do by this latest prophecy for Wales is to gather in worship in order that God's visitation might become a habitation. How do we sense his presence? Well, that's a sermon for another time. Maybe we have sight. Some people see gold dust or feathers or silver as an indication of his presence. How do we smell his presence? Well, the fragrance of Jesus is often present. And people talk about seeing or smelling the juice of God's presence. How do we taste? Taste and see that the Lord is good, says his word. And how do we know that God is present? By his touch. People often feel a great sense of heat in times of healing and so on. And God is present because we can hear him speak. God is a chatterbox, said somebody, speaking all the time. It's up to us to open our ears and to hear. Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of your tone, says the hymnist. Well, Lord, let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that you have introduced yourself to us as Jehovah Shammah, the God of the here and now, that your greatest present to us is your presence. And we welcome you again into our lives, your presence into our lives. We pray, Lord, that we may continually be aware, as David said, of your presence. Whatever the circumstances, however dire the circumstances might be, may we be aware of your presence with us and in us and working through us. Amen.